Good evening, boy. I'm Suffolk Ram.
Skazis.
In case you're wondering what we're talking about, that's a possible plan for the future.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Shall we say?
Yeah, go on, let's say.
We are planning, maybe, possibly, if we survive long enough, to do, at some point next year.
We're going to have to work out when.
We want to do a 24-hour live stream for, I can't remember the charity.
Now, the charity, well, obviously the charity's not finalised yet, but we're thinking there's a charity that makes controllers for gamers who have disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'd be nice to do something for them.
Yeah, for sure.
But obviously we're open to ideas, you know.
Yep.
But yeah, sponsored, I'm not sure we're going to get sponsored money, but we'll set PayPal or something.
Yeah,
we'll put
Twitch donations and then say, or YouTube donations, because YouTube does streaming donation-y fluff now.
Yeah.
Basically, every penny goes to the charity. We'll have polls in for what games to play. And towards the end of the stream, if you stick around long enough, we're going to have a torture round.
Yes.
5 games on the poll that we all hate.
Yeah.
Including the most epic.
I was going to say, won't they be most esteemed for you, though?
Yeah. Fucking crap.
The thing is, most of the games we'll probably play will be torture games for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're going to play ideas. We'll have a pick each, and people will be able to vote like every 2 hours which is our next one we're going to play.
Yep.
And we'll then play that one.
Gonna be great.
That will be.
Gonna be great. And you can even vote on what takeaway we have.
Yes. Yeah, we're gonna have a takeaway vote. You can vote what takeaway we're gonna have. Well, even if we get a takeaway, you might vote no, we don't get a takeaway.
You might vote we have to stun after death, or, mate, seriously, I know I joked about saying, hey, what if they said that we go to the all-you-can-eat Chinese buffet at the top end of town? Just take a laptop with us.
Yeah, it's the internet connection might be an issue.
Right, we're now dropping down to 720p at 2 megabits a second. 4G.
My 4G on my phone.
And we'll be sat there in the restaurant. We'll have to make sure that we've got a gaming laptop on backup so we can actually still do some games whilst we're sat there eating our Chinese.
Yeah. Except for when you want to watch us eat Chinese. That's the other thing, is every order has to be something that we can eat with our hands. You know, if we decide to order like soup, that's going to be a problem.
Just get a straw.
Yeah.
Just like carry a soup straw.
That'd be great. So,
that'd be great. We've got to do this. This is going to be amazing.
Yeah, I think we're something we should arrange.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm the Suffolk Ram.
Skazis.
I don't know if we said that already. Oh,
we did. But again.
Oh, okay. No worries, we'll worry about
that. We're drunk.
Well, no, we're not. I've had about 3 sips of a can of Carling.
Well, that's me drunk. And I'm fucking gone, mate. I opened the can and I'm gone.
Ooh, the fumes, the fumes.
Oh my God, the colours. Wait, no, that's LSD, isn't it?
Yeah.
Alcohol doesn't make you see colours. It just makes you feel woozy.
Yeah. Black causes things to blur.
Yeah, well, most things in my life make things blur. Just eating makes things blur. This is amazing. Every time I eat, I'm drunk.
Yeah.
And in agony.
Cool. Well, we'll kick off straight away.
Yes.
So, game's been playing. Scans have been in misery. Did you do that spat? I was listening to one from the last week. There was a Splatfest coming up where you could be werewolves or vampires.
Is that first? No, it's the first weekend of next month, so... What's the first weekend next month? Is it the 5th?
4th and 5th.
Yeah, that'll be the 4th and 5th of next month.
Oh, we'll talk about next podcast then.
Cool. But all I've really done game-wise is the kids have been playing Minecraft. So I've just been sat watching them play Minecraft. We've got servers set up. And they've been playing with command blocks, which means they have to learn a little bit. It's almost programming.
Yeah, I had a mess around those.
It's kind of fun watching my younger son. He's the one that was really interested in command blocks. And he wasn't entirely sure how to use them. I did get kind of stressed with him to start with. I was like, why do you want to learn how to use command blocks? They don't do anything, and you have to know a bit of code and how the engine works to get it to do anything. He was adamantly wanted to do it, so we sat there for a little bit. Because I wanted him to try and convince me that he actually wanted to learn how these things work, not like, oh, that's cool. And then after 15 minutes of trying to explain it to him, he stopped. But... He made a command block to spawn the Ender Dragon.
Yeah.
So he spawned a couple of Ender Dragons that then wouldn't go away or do anything. So because we couldn't actually seem to figure out how to get rid of them, he got another command block set up with a button on it so that when he pressed it, it would kill the next nearest thing to the command block. So first it killed him, and then because he has his Minecraft can talk to it, can read out, it's got like text-to-speech. All of a sudden his computer for nearly 2 hours was reading out that this command block was killing everything on the map. It was amazing. It was like, oh, I can't remember what it was, but then such and such has killed,
some random sheep.
Like, villager, sheep, pig, a the wizard or whatever that's in the village, witches, creepers, they were all just dying, just one after the other. All of a sudden it said, like, fence has just died. It's like, fence? Like, that doesn't die, it's just there. It's like the world was just being wiped out. All life was just being destroyed on this world. I was like,
it's like some horrific sort of apocalyptic thing you created that was, like, killing everything.
That's it, and I was like, wait, you're a 7-year-old child and you've just committed...
destroyed the world.
You've committed mass murder, man.
Yeah, it's when you sort of come up to you, you walk up to you, you just see like this gaping void of nothingness. It's just command block. It's just that sat in the middle. Destroying all the blocks around it.
Everyone then tries to get nearer to it and it's like okay, it's just past us. Quick run. Spawn in. All of a sudden, it's like, it's killed everything on the map. Things are still spawning.
You need about 1,000 people just to run at it because you are only one of them will make it.
Oh, you hope. Because that thing was killing things off pretty quick.
Just switch it off before it kills everything.
Quick! Kill it! It's like, but then it turns out the person who gets there isn't a mod, so they can't stop it anyway. It's like, no!
That is the start of a great sci-fi film. That really is the start of a great
command
sci-fi
block film. The horror. Oh, it was fun. And they played Minecraft Story Mode. I think that's actually where they got the groove to play with command blocks. Because, have you seen Minecraft Story Mode? It's one of those telltales.
Okay, so I'll talk about
Yeah, well, they were playing regular Minecraft to play with command blocks, but they've played recently.
Of course, Minecraft's changed since I last played. I wouldn't surprise me if Minecraft had a story mode in it.
Yeah, well, they ended up. Telltale Games ended up making Minecraft Story Mode, which is one of their almost point and click like adventures.
Yeah,
like it's a model take on a point and click.
Yeah, they'll represent Walking Dead, you know, Wolf Among Us.
They did, obviously Minecraft Story Mode, and then was Back to the Future. Did they do the Back to the Future one?
I think they did a Strong Bad Adventure game as well.
They've done quite a few, actually, think them, haven't
they? They did Sam and Max.
Oh, did they?
They redid some, well, they didn't do the original Sam and Max, but yeah, they did the new version of it, yeah.
That's rocking.
Yeah.
I might have to try that.
Yeah.
I like Sam and Max.
Yeah, it's my sister and brother play, they quite enjoyed it.
But yeah, they play through Minecraft Story Mode, and it was literally just this random story built on top of Minecraft's world.
Yeah.
And there's a command block in that where it summons, like, the ultimate demon or something and some fluff. And they really enjoyed Story Mode, so they wanted to do command blocks and hunt the Wither and hunt the Ender Dragon and stuff like that in actual Minecraft. But I've been trying to convince my children to play Survival Mode, not Creative. Because creative bores the ever-loving toss out of me.
And to be fair, even in survival mode, you can still build stuff quite quickly once you get the hang of it.
For sure.
Once you've got someone to sleep, and you've got your relative tools that you need to get going.
Yeah.
Because we played survival mode on your server, and I pretty quickly had a full massive farm going in.
You did. You ended up, like, just hacking down mountains.
I basically did a massive land clearing to get more sheep on there. And you know, I just sort of levelled off half the world.
And what really surprised me was you ended up right near my house, and my house was right in the middle of the boonies. I was like, where's this? What the fuck? Someone's moved in next door. I was like, hang on a minute. Sheep everywhere. Ram! Where did my mountain go?
I was painting that.
Hang on, there was a... Where's the mountains? I was planting a forest around here. Because before you got there, it was barren. There was nothing there. So I was planting trees. I had to go all the way back to the start zone to get saplings to plant in that area. Otherwise, there was no wood to do anything with. So I was like, where's all my trees gone?
They all got cut down, mate.
So
they all got cut down for the cause.
Like, where's the mountains?
They all got burnt.
And then...
I was basically trying to kickstart the Industrial Revolution.
Well, it seems like it. And then Inky turns up and made this giant sheep that farts lava.
Yeah.
Like, right near... I was like, why is it? I need to move. Enough of this.
Don't you hate it when the air around you gets developed?
Yeah,
it's you like, made it for the views, and then the local housing people come develop it all up.
What's that picture? Up? I'm the old man, Mr. Fredrickson, who can't handle people moving in nearby, so I just have to move my entire fucking house. Yeah. Screw you guys, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Minecraft, god damn it.
Now, if Minecraft had if Minecraft could, like, develop a way that you could have, like, sort of make a sort of moving vehicle that could, like, drive about or move on level terrain. Because what I really would like to make in Minecraft, what I really would love to be able to make is, like, this giant machine.
Redstone terraformer.
Basically, yeah, the front, except these like little things that could destroy everything in front of them. Like, you know those big tunnel boring machines that sort of drill through? I want like, a land version that I could just drive through all the mountains. Just sit there, just watch all these sort of blocks get pulled off, but not left behind and drop below it, and just sort of drive through the mountains and just sort of like level the world. And I'd like so I could just keep moving by itself. So basically, my plan would be just sort of aiming roughly in a direction, start it going, and just send it off. If I could set it as well that it could like build blocks in front of itself. So as it goes, it's the ocean.
There's no water in it.
It's the ocean. Just like it could just build blocks in front of it, sort of make its own little bridge. And I basically was going to make the destroyer of worlds.
I just have this vision where one day we log on to the server, and all of a sudden it's like my server will start complaining that its terabyte hard drive is full because all of a sudden the Minecraft world is generated out to be
Several thousand kilometers. Because like, my machine is like, Nick, we need to go stop your machine. Like, it's another sci-fi film coming up.
Yes, it's like, oh my god, where's it gone?
That way. How fast is it? It's slightly faster than we can run.
It's like, oh god damn it.
Horses, get the horses.
This is like we're riding into battle.
Like, it's like, where's the ostrich? I was behind a load of obsidian blocks in there.
It's like, oh, bollocks. Yeah. I ended up building my house out of obsidian on my server.
I filled up with loads of creepers as well, so if you get too close... You're going to die bombs with creepers.
You actually say that, but my youngest son decided he was going to generate...
I had a zombie pit. Underneath my house. I dug a little pit and I lured zombies into and dropped them into the pit and they just stayed down there.
That's what we did in Terraria. We ended up building these pits, like these trenches on the sides of the houses, and zombies just kept falling in.
Yeah.
Good times. My son ended up putting, spawners. Like back in the day in Minecraft, there were spawners, like little spawn blocks, weren't there? He fucking made a wall of them that spawned creepers, and they just kept on farting out creepers every few seconds. I was like, how are we supposed to get past this now? Flint and steel did the job, apparently. He's getting really good at using flint and steel on creepers. But... basically, watching my children destroy the world. That's what
I go in Minecraft and I see the things that build. Like, someone built a recreation of the war from Game of Thrones. You know, it's just amazing.
I haven't seen anything too hardcore. I remember when someone did the Starship Enterprise.
Yeah, I saw that. The only trouble with Minecraft blocks is that because they are square... You can't really get the scale right. So, if you want to like do like the Starship Enterprise... none of the corridors and doorways work because of the wrong scale, so you tend to have to compromise a little bit.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a shame, but
you can always kind of get it so when you go inside, you teleport to another part of the map.
There is actually a competition, isn't it, where people like actually do like Minecraft sculptures and they build things in Minecraft and enter into competitions. And there's I saw one on Reddit the other day. It's like this amazing thing, like this, like sort of elf with a sword up fighting like somebody, like this demon jumping through the air, and it's all like got like casting a fireball in one hand, and it looks like you can't think this was made in Minecraft. So you really close, you can just sort of see the little blocks. I mean, it's like looking close to the photo and seeing the pixels.
Yeah, for sure.
It's that detail. I just want to think, how do you plan that? How do you sit there and think, I'm going to just build
in
this?
In fairness, you were in the process of programming a way to generate the Welsh flag in Pascal.
That did work, yes, I did do that. I did generate the Welsh flag in Pascal.
But that's not, I guess it's not quite a...
That's 2D.
Yeah.
This is 3D.
I know, sometimes it blows my mind too, just looking at it. It's like, wow, that must have taken ages. Because sometimes, just building Scribb, someone who we went to college with, he ended up on my Minecraft server, and he built a massive underground... he built an underground minecart system.
So he's the only person who played it properly.
Yeah.
He actually built a mine in Minecraft.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Did he send small children down there to saw a mine?
I believe he might have done. Because there was no way in hell he'd have got all that done by himself so quickly. But I mean, he built like, he even built like train stations or cart stations and like mansions next to each stop. So it was crazy. He did
a lot of train station and mansion next to him.
And then my children, I think they unleashed the wither, the nether, and basically that's like a flying thing that blows everything up.
Yeah.
So I think his house might have exploded by now. But you know what you said about the Minecraft building competitions?
Yeah.
That's actually the start of Minecraft Story Mode. The main characters in Minecraft Story Mode, the little point-and-click adventure, have to go to a Minecraft, to a building competition. It's kind of neat.
Yeah, if you watch this, look up Minecraft sculptures on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me, it's worth it. They are some really cool sculptures on there. So what I've just noticed on the camera feed is the microphone sort of sticking out, so it looks slightly threatening.
I was actually throwing out that it's dipping down. That's further down than it was a minute ago.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Yeah, I think it's dropped a bit. I'm just wondering, it looks like she's going to go and stab one of us through the head.
You don't realise we're actually being held at gunpoint.
Yeah, what you see is like that.
He's just got his head pressed into a microphone.
We'll start up here in a second.
Oh, good times.
You get to watch that in a minute.
Eventually, because the microphone's on my side of the camera, so as the microphone dips down, I will disappear from shot.
Yeah, you will, actually.
I will become a microphone.
What was it when was on the sort of webcam that gradually I was getting cut out of shot?
It was tipping, weren't it? It was turning sideways.
Yeah, and gradually the course...
It was me, because I was sat on this side, and one part went the other way.
There you are.
Stream delays.
Yeah, there you are. And then, yeah, it looked like you sort of, gradually, just me and Middlemeister doing the whole podcast by ourselves.
Yeah, I weren't there. I just fallen out of it. Minecraft, so I played that. Well, I've watched that. I've watched my children dick around and destroy the world. Minecraft story mode looks interesting. If you're into Telltale games, it might be worth having a look into it, even if you're not into Minecraft. It seems kind of funny, it's kind of goofy.
I've not played, because I play a lot of Telltale. I've played Wolf Among Us, I've played all the Walking Deads.
Mm.
I've not tried the Minecraft story mode, because I've heard it's not their best.
It's not great, but it is kind of goofy. It's fun in a goofy way. But then it is Minecraft. I mean, let's be fair, it's a game that doesn't actually have a story or any rules or any plot to speak of. So they've actually come up with a story.
Yeah. We've had our first joiner with Annie say, I'm catching on one of these. That means I'm neither sleeping, at work, or down the pub. You're at the best place possible. You're at the Wear Nerds podcast.
Whilst we could be at the pub.
We are at the pub.
Mm-hmm.
The bar's over there.
That's it. It's amazing.
You can't see it. We have to keep telling the revelers that if you hear any noise, that's just the incoming pub people just making a bit too much noise.
Maybe we need to do a pub podcast at some point.
We just said we're going to do a PubCon podcast.
I'll take my Zoom H6.
Yeah.
I'll take one of my PCs.
The PubCast.
That's it. Well, they've changed landlords, though. Landlords, yeah.
Well, I'd have a little chat and say, you might become called a PubCast here.
Yeah, we're going to get drunk and record a show.
Drunk and record a show, yes.
That's and it. You guys can fight Obama all you want, because I'll just turn around and glass you up.
Yeah, that'll be awesome.
We won't put that in the proposal. No. But it'll likely happen.
We also have a fake webcam set up. It's not actually recording anything.
Just have it there so people will go, ah!
They'll go on open. I said, oh, yeah, I photobombed them. It's not actually recording anything, mate. It's just there. It's just there
to entertain you.
Yeah, it's just to make you guys feel happy.
Bless them. We should have a second camera angle just so...
We should just randomly invite pub patrons to come sit with us and talk about their games.
Yeah, it was. So, hey, no, mate, they all like football, so they'll all talk about FIFA. And no, you'll probably end up finding that one old guy that sits at the corner of the pub who actually turns out he's like one of the world's greatest D&D DMs.
Yes.
And like, I don't know, he's got this massive collection.
Always like number one in the world, like Quake or something.
Yeah, well, we actually say this because there was a bloke who I was working with years and years and years ago. He looked like a farmer, mate. Big old beard, used to ride a push bike everywhere, he didn't look like the kind of person who, one day he looked through one of my MP3 players, and he was like, oh yeah, I love that album. And he picked out, I think it was either something by Mayhem or fucking Burzum. And I was like, holy crap. He's like, yeah, I've got this album at home. I was like, what?
So basically, you're saying, he gives me the look that people give me when I'm walking down the street in my sort of like corduroy shirt and cheat jacket flat cap, and I've got like some sort of Nightwish playing out of my pocket.
Yeah, that's it. Like, it was crazy.
What the fuck is that guy listening to?
And no, I was actually surprised because he pointed out a couple of albums that I hadn't listened to yet, and I was like, oh, crap, these are actually amazing.
It's one of the weird things, because when I went to our culture degree, and despite the fact they're all youngsters, there's only, I think, only one person there who actually played computer games. Everybody else just didn't do anything.
Well, that question.
Yes.
And I know we're kind of trailing off from the topic of games we've been playing, but so whilst you're at your agricultural course,
yes,
Magic University College place,
yes,
in a faraway land, How many people were there, and what was the demographic?
Oh,
in that course, like, were they like 13-year-old girls?
Well,
or something?
In my course, there was me.
Mm-hmm.
The first year there was four of them. In the degree level course. But to be fair, it was the first year they'd run it, which is why it was only me on it.
Oh, okay, cool.
I felt very special because I used to get one-to-one tuition for everybody. It's awesome.
Oh, right.
Way
better than our previous course, yeah. Which...
In the previous course that, which was the ND, which is... Cause you have, so this is where it gets confusing. You have FD, ND, then FD. Hey. FD is foundation degree, ND is national diploma, and there's FD, which is foundation diploma.
Oh, okay.
So, ND, an FD, how can I put this nicely? That is for the, this is a sheep. Sheep go bar. Touch the sheep. Congratulations, you
passed.
Wait,
are we talking about foundations here?
Yeah.
Hang on. Computer science degree wasn't that simple.
No, this foundation diploma.
Oh, right.
Okay. Foundation degree was a lot more complicated than that. You know, we didn't just touch the sheep, we sort of got involved with the sheep and actually did things
that
to
sounds
it.
Sounds a bit too wrong.
I know. We touched all the parts of the sheep.
Well, you have to familiarise yourself
exactly, yeah.
with the sheep.
I do have a story of my Nuno at one point where they had to, as part of their course, they had to like do health checks on animals, and some of them refused to touch the bull's balls.
But what do these... Right, our question,
yeah.
Again. What do these people think that they have to do as a farmer or livestock farmer?
Like, I'm not entirely sure why they went into it, to be honest.
That's like...
It's like learning to be a mechanic, but you don't like the feel of oil in your skin. Or it's like being...
All these drippy hipster... I hate it. I've been going off on a rant for like the last week about hipster millennials... recently, because
we're millennials, Luke. We're millennials.
I know. Do you know how broad millennials also
from
covers
like 1980s, isn't it?
No, there are some places also cover the 70s.
70s?
Like, are you fucking kidding? Some people say it's between 1975 up to right. Get this: 1975 to the year 2000.
I thought to be a millennial, you had basically been a teenager in the 90s.
Yeah, I thought it had to be somewhere between like. Early 80s up to, time.
I was told you had to be a teenager in the 90s.
I was then told, so that's kind of the definition, right? But when you actually, no one has actually come up with an age range for it.
No.
And most people say that if you were born anywhere between around 1980 to the year 2000, you're a millennial. I was like, how is that a thing?
Well, see,
but the guys before that, what was it, Generation...
Who knows?
Well,
the baby boomers were sort of like 1930s or 40s, weren't they? Because they're the ones who like came back from war and basically had to repopulate the world. That's what they call the baby boomers.
Bless them.
Then there was...
Good job, guys.
Yeah, you did well. there's now 6 billion of us. You did too well.
Maybe you should have held
yeah,
back.
Maybe they should have like invented contraception quicker.
Maybe you should have told us to stop.
Then there's like the sort of 70s in there. I can't remember. The Generation X, was that next?
Yeah, I think it was Generation X. Because millennials are now classed as... So the thing is, if you look up millennial, which is considered Generation Y... They don't fall under the same date range.
Yeah.
Then how are they the same thing?
Basically, it's almost like it's all under rubbish.
Yes! But I still hate them!
Yeah. Anyway.
Yes.
So back to school. So yeah, then before foundation degree, then had NDs, which is National Diploma, and there are quite a few of those. There's probably about 60, 70 of them.
But what does that equate to? Because I'm completely out of the loop as far as...
A national diploma would be the... Well, obviously, there's several levels of national diploma.
Mm.
No, that's NVQ. I'm getting through his own cues. National diploma is probably equivalent to our ABCE.
Bollocks, then.
Yeah. That's sort of equivalent of it, yeah. Then
ABCE was basically an A-level, wasn't it?
It's worth about 6 A-levels, I think, is what equivalent to.
Is it?
Something like that, yeah, because it's 2-year course equivalent to about 6 A-level.
Can I just throw out there that, let's be fair, A-levels these days are worth dirt.
Yeah. And then Foundation Diploma, which is basically of our GMVQ, which is fairly basic.
GMVQ is worth dirt.
I used to, the day I used to be at the farm was the same day that they would be out there doing their section, and the law course lecturer would be asking questions, and there'd be really easy questions, and I'd be sat
what
there in the corner.
What is this?
And I'd be sat in the corner. But if I was sort of our view, but a couple of them sort of look at me and I'd sort of mouth the answer to them.
How could you?
There's one girl said, now what's the gestation period on a sheep? And they sort of looked at me and went, 47. And they said, and she said, oh, 147? Oh, well done, well done. And she turned and gave me the thumbs up.
Oh, God. That guy must have almost had a heart attack that someone could answer it.
Now,
what
lady,
are you doing building up that
house? I think they was very impressed with her.
Jesus Christ.
So I got a thumbs up for that. There was only about sort of like 10 of those, but they were...
Well, what would they actually do with that?
To be honest, that's all. It was like, what would you do with a GNVQICT?
Nothing.
Exactly, yeah. It's basically really basic... That isn't really... I wouldn't even set you up to really get your first job on a farm.
Mm.
You know, you need an MD for
so
that.
Was there really a point in doing it? Moving up to the next?
We see. The thing is, if you complete the FD, you automatically went on to the ND.
Oh, okay.
So the ND had entry requirements, and one of them was complete the FD.
Oh,
but
okay.
You could bypass the FD, but if you didn't have the qualifications to get into the... ND.
You could go...
Do the FD first, which is basically what I had to do, because I didn't have any qualifications to go on to AVCE. I do the GNVQ first, so I'd go on to AVCE.
Sure.
So they do exactly the same thing that basically I had to do.
So that's really bad.
That mic's dropped down a bit more.
Yes, it has. But I've now got a
thumb screw.
Yeah, stuck in my head.
Yeah.
That's fine, though.
That's fine. It's alright. I'm sure if it was a good show, ba-dumph.
Well, if that was Linford, that would have just nut-tapped me by now, but
yeah.
that's the trailer.
NDs were quite... They did an awful lot. They really did. In hindsight, which I'd done the ND before I did my foundation degree, because I would have got a lot more... NDs, you've got all your licences, like tractor licence and everything. I was all included. You've got all your teleporter licences. I had to do my tractor licence separately and pay for that.
Blimey.
Yeah, because it's not including the foundation degree.
Can I throw out there that my time in university was absolutely pointless, and I really do wish I didn't play as dumb as I did back then. Because I literally...
You're playing? I'm going to tie to this because that's dropped down even more.
I hate to say it, and if it weren't obvious to anyone else around us, yeah, horribly. Because I was lazy. I didn't want people to think that I was any good at anything. So, like, you know that you'd end up getting a sheet to say that's even worse than it was before. Thanks, man.
I thought I moved it up.
I always look at the requirement sheet for a piece of coursework. You'll have to wait for the thing to go. That'd be fine, though, I reckon, as long as the lead's out of the way. I would look at the absolute bare minimum requirements to pass, and then just do that.
Yeah.
And that's always been the case. I've been doing that since high school.
Yeah.
And in high school, I didn't even turn up to my GCSEs.
No.
For the most part.
Is that why you did the GNVQ?
I didn't do a GNVQ.
Did you not do a GNVQ?
No, I went straight into AVCE.
Oh.
Because I walked in there with a load of fucking code that I'd done. So whilst I played dumb in our code classes, I'd already proven to 2/3 of the lecturers in that fucking course...
That
I could code blindfolded.
Yeah.
So it was just because I was lazy.
I was quite amused because I was doing, obviously, my degree work.
Mm.
And one time I was in the library and they were there doing their... And basically, you know how AVC used to have, like checklists?
Yeah.
For getting your... Basically, this is what you need to show to do a pass. They're saying there's pass, merit, and distinction.
Yeah.
Same grading system. And I sat down, looked through one of their coursework once, and I thought...
Write your name at the top of the page.
I'd get a distinction about half an hour doing this. Because just all the stuff I covered was far more depth than they'd ever go. And I showed them, I said, okay, I'll look at your coursework. Have a look at my one while you're at it.
And I will be honest, looking at most of the courses that we've done, and because me and you have been in a few together, or you were in a different class to me in one, and then we went and did...
Foundation degree in computer science together.
Yeah, Jesus Christ, thinking about it, if I didn't fuck around half as much as I did and I actually applied myself, I'd have finished my driving that coursework in less than an afternoon. I actually remember on many occasions, it was the due date of handing in ABCE.
Away, I was the same.
Done.
Man, I was exactly the same. I did the same with my programming stuff.
Mm.
I used to do that sort of. I used to get home with it, sit down, do it all, and then be done.
Yeah.
That was, you know, the program. That program, I remember we had to do in class stuff.
Yeah.
And I got...
What is this during...
Pascal, when we were in class, yeah.
I actually quite like Pascal.
That was alright little language, wasn't it? Yeah,
yeah, it was neat.
I sat down doing Pascal in class, and yeah, I got, what did I just, I feel it took about an hour and a quarter, and we had 2 hours to do it, and I got 98%.
Yeah. I scoffed.
But I love, but I love programming knowledge at that point. I'd done a lot of programming, so I saw Pascal was quite easy to pick up, really.
Yeah, for sure.
What they asked us to do was quite easy. So I wasn't that bad.
Mm. It wasn't particularly difficult.
I remember we, me and my friend, we did it. We sort of like, it was a bit more qualifications. We did this course on, it was all about sort of networking and hardware. We did it. And part of it, and it was pretty basic. We got we basically offered to do it. So it'd be good to have in your thing. Also, that it's a new course. We'd like to see how, what sort of level it's at. So can we watch some experience? People who've got the AVCE to do it. In between the first, second year of AVCE, we've got some experienced people to do it to see how well they come off it, so we then know if we're targeting the right level. If you guys find it really easy, we're probably about the right level for what we're aiming for.
Mm.
If you guys struggle with it, we're probably made it too hard.
Right.
Well, because it's meant to be a very basic course.
Yeah, sure.
So we did it. And there was a multiple choice exam in it at one point, and we sat down and we had this exam paper, and he goes, right, you've got 40 minutes. And I just sat there and just went, I think I was the second person out, but I was literally by seconds in it. And I think 5 minutes later, we were down the canteen 5 minutes after we started the test. Because
mm-hmm.
once you don't, just hand in and go. So literally got panned it in. Can we go? Yeah. All right. Off we went. And so, yeah, we finished in about 5 minutes. That was the practice one. Because in the real one, you weren't allowed to leave.
All right.
That was a ball ache, so we did it, and we just sat there. I was like, I can't leave. I'm just going to sit for 35 minutes. And I can't read anything. So I just sat there very much, just, yep, the question's still correct. Yes, I've still answered it correctly.
Yeah, I definitely wrote my name correctly.
Though. Yeah, that was really, really easy. It was easy, and that was, that we mean we just breezed through it.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun doing it, though. Because it's one over the summer, so it's like just something to sort of keep in touch with by the summer. It's like one evening a week.
Two evenings
a week, because a Tuesday and a Thursday. And yeah, it was quite fun in the evening. So that was all right, enjoyable.
For sure. Now thinking back, you know, at it, oh my God, so lazy.
Yeah.
So some of the things we made out to be so difficult back in the day were so obvious.
Yes, I like this. Remember, I came across that you need press for going. Yes, it does what it needs to do. It's efficient, but you need to follow the book in order to pass. Yeah, I used this problem with maths exams.
Mm.
I did the maths exam, and the guy sat there. Whenever I used to do him, show him, I said, show your work today, and he watched me how I do it. And I always got the right answer. He goes, I see you got the right answer, but I can't find me figure out how you work it out.
Yeah, because most of them aren't actually. So most of the people who teach this stuff.
This guy knew stuff. He was an engineer. He knew his stuff.
So then how did he not know?
It's because my methodology of working something out was so bizarre to him. It was so against how it was meant to be done.
Fair enough.
He's like, this doesn't make, how you've worked out doesn't really make sense, but somehow you've got the right answer.
Well, I was going to say, I know I'm ruining the audio. In high school, A-level maths wasn't taught by someone who had an A-level in maths.
No.
It just wasn't. And that was bizarre. I can remember quite an argument kicking off because of that. I was like, how can you teach it? You don't even have a qualification in it. One of the people who taught computing in my school, and this was, I say computing loosely, how to be a secretary, she had no idea how to use a computer. Yeah. No one fucking taught me.
Well, a friend of mine, he was telling me that his mother was doing do you remember the Clate courses they used to do at college?
Oh my God!
Yeah.
I had to trial those. Yeah. Clate and ECDL,
we both did the ECDL.
Asked to, much like you were with the hardware course, I was asked to do the same kind of thing in Last Off College for Clate. How easy is it? And if I found it too easy, could I guide people through it? For the tutors who, you know, you had a big classroom full of people who couldn't use a computer at all, like literally how to turn a fucking computer on.
It was, yeah, my dad did the Clate course.
I was then there to help people through, and it's like, well, they said, hey, can you type up this document and as one of the trials. It was like word processing, how to do word processing. My fucking God. Because I type reasonably quick, not crazy fast. Done. Literally, give me it. Document done. I could pretty much retype a document in, well, not too long, really.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck was this? Sorry, I'm going off.
No, I know what you mean. No, I am. Because we did ECD, yeah, that we did that with our phones.
The European
computer driving license.
Yeah.
And that was that was a, I think, something like six modules that we've done like over 6 weeks. We did it in the morning. Like 2 hours, we've done the whole lot.
You know the only one I didn't like?
What?
Or the only one that I thought, oh, why are we still doing this? That might have actually been because it was just the last one that we did. Spreadsheets.
Yeah.
I fucking
But anyway, I had a spreadsheet exam for my foundation degree because we do stats, and one of the stats was how to use Excel.
Ugh.
So we had to know to use Excel because Excel's got the statistics function. It's really good at statistics, is Excel. But I had to know how to use it. And so I had such a home advantage. So I just went in there and I was sat there, and the first two people hadn't used Excel. They'd literally didn't really have much Excel themselves.
Mm.
And they walked past and they'd seen what I'd done. I was like, how do you do that? Oh, it's simple. You just type in this formula here, this formula. And if you do this nested if statement, and
that was,
it's like, what the hell? I don't know. You could do that. You can nest statements. Yeah, you can nest statements. And, yeah, I went and had to do that call. That was fun. But anyway, his mother was doing the clinic course, and she came home once and just said to him, and she sort of said, so, what does BIOS stand for? And he goes, what would you do? So I said, what does BIOS stand for? And he would just go, well, basic input output system. Oh, we've got some more guys.
Spreadsheets and that, just quickly just changing. Wait, they taught that in Clay?
No, this was different. That was my foundation degree at our cultural college. We did the spreadsheets.
No, I mean, to in a Clay course, BIOS.
I don't know how it came up. I think he said it was like beginner's. I mean, okay. I'm perhaps misremembering.
I was going to say, Jesus Christ. Most beginners would be like, a BIOS? Yeah, explain. Most of them would be like,
yeah.
Turn it on.
Well, he said basic input. She goes, no, it means binary input output system. He goes, no, it doesn't. She goes, yes, it does. We learned in whatever course it is today. He goes, no, I guarantee you it does not mean binary input output system. But you know when someone says you doubt yourself,
mm.
So he comes to me and says, he said RAM. He didn't say RAM, obviously.
Yeah, for sure.
What does BIOS stand for? I said basic input output system. He goes, I was right. I'm sure I was right. I said, yeah, you're definitely right. And we had the discussion. It's like, lecturers don't know the acronyms.
Mm. It's really bad when the people that teach don't know their groove.
Oh, I spent the summer between GNVQ and ABC, because I was a boring child, a boring teenager. I spent basically learning Access databases,
mm.
like inside out, how they all worked and everything. And part of our course was Access databases.
Mm.
And because I spent all summer on them and programming them and just building this really detailed depth database everything, the lecturer used to say, can you just go help him with his database? I was going, because I'd do my stuff really quickly, because I'd spent all summer playing around with them.
Just going to throw out there. Jesus Christ, the amount. I can't actually code anymore. I can do very basic code now. But one too many head injuries. I don't remember much of anything from back then. I remember it was quite fun, puzzle solving and
I downloaded some courses on game development. I've done some courses on, because I want sort of like practical of Unity.
Stop.
Yep.
Do not do a course in game development.
Not as a career. Stupid, waste of time. Don't do it as a university course in view of getting a career of it, but I want to do it for enjoyment purposes.
Yeah, for sure. But what I'm saying is, don't. For anyone that gets offered a place on a games development course, don't bother. Go do a comp sci degree.
That's all they want.
If you're going to do a degree in computing, go do comp sci.
I think someone said, I remember we sat once.
And don't even do software development. If you're offered software development, fucking no. Comp sci.
The one you want, if you do comp sci, if not so much software development, system analysis.
Mm.
If you can get your head on system analysis, you can make a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
But he,
sorry.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've been doing this. I got on a massive, have you heard of crack.com? American comedy website?
Sure.
They've got a store and they do really stupid discounts. So this course had like 96% off.
Mm.
So I've got like for £15.
Good deal.
Like, yeah, really good deal. About sort of, and it's not just because all things from Unity, you've got a lot of stuff in Unity. All the way up from like 2D to 3D to AI and modelling, how to use Blender and stuff. So I thought, you know, I want to get sort of practice a bit more on that. And so I've been self-taught. It'd be not something to be self-taught. It's something nice to see a structure on how you're meant to do it. Because I go, oh, I didn't know I could do that. I didn't know that's what the option did. Oh, that's how you meant to do it. Oh, that makes more sense, actually, when you see it done that way.
Yeah, for sure.
But part of it's got, they also teach you Unreal Engine.
All right.
Including C++. Or Unreal Engine, so I'm going to start, because I haven't dabbled in C++ in years.
I remember you talking a fair bit in length back in the day about wanting to do C++.
Yeah,
or doing C++.
I was learning C++ at one point. I was actually sort of getting quite heavy into, because that's what everybody said you need to learn. Because I started on QBasic.
That blue background.
Yes, that was a blue background when I did, yeah.
So did Larry, actually. We used to talk. In high school about it,
and then switched to. Then I went from QBasic to Visual Basic, which I quite like. Visual Basic. That's what we did. That was.
Remember what we did in ABC? Was it?
Yeah, we did do Visual Basic. I can't remember if we did Visual Basic in ABCE or if we did that in GMVQ.
Still at toilet.
We had to do. We had to do one on. We had to build like a till system.
Yeah, that was ABCE.
That was ABCE. Yeah. Well, I taught myself Visual Basic. So I could face some syntax.
I don't like Wizzy Wig.
Yeah. The nice thing about Visual Basic was that it was an interpreted language. So basically, you could change up while it was running. Whereas it wasn't a compiled language. So whereas like C, then I obviously had to do Java as part of the event. We had to do Java, which I hated.
Shut up.
And then I switched to C#, which basically which sort of mixed Java and C. So I had sort of good bits from Java and the good bits from C++, mixed again to make C#. And that's probably my favourite language in terms of what I've used. I really enjoy working in C#. There's all actually got the little weird bits of how why the design is, but see, it's so well designed and so much supports it now. But I do really want to learn C++ because so many, particularly computer games, are written in it.
Sure.
So when I decompile one, of course, I don't decompile software at all, never, because I wouldn't decompile a piece of software. But yeah, I like to sort of mess around in C++ with it and
fair enough.
Have fun.
I will say that we have gone off on one from games to programming courses and stuff. I do wish I still had the capacity to remember things more than a couple of weeks. Because even trying to remember things from back in the high school days, it's just not happening. It's not sticking. Even stuff that I used to be really good at, I can't do it anymore.
I mean, I don't remember much from those days, to be honest. I don't remember a lot. I don't think this. I know you probably say what's remember a lot of people. I mean, I don't remember much about from when I was a teenager.
No, but you remember the skills that you've developed. Whereas I've lost everything. I could be. Well, I told you earlier on today how, you know, I've been doing photography for absolutely years. Picked up my camera again recently after taking quite a break from it, and I fucked up the most simple exposure. I have to. Because of my memory issues now, I have to relearn everything constantly. If I let it go for, you know, even just a couple of months, it's gone. I'll have to learn from scratch. And I wish I'd have kept my hand in on computing.
Yeah.
But then when I realised I didn't want to do computing for a job.
Yeah. I mean, I've been tempted to do comp sci as an open university course over 6 years. I've been tempted to do that.
Yeah. If it's a good, you know, good value.
Yeah, well, it's the same as doing a normal university course. But I sort of think. But I've also been touring the idea of actually getting a Cisco qualification.
Sure, I think.
Networking
qualification. Yeah, Scribs is doing those.
Yeah, I've been tempted to get a qualification in that. Something similar to that. You can do that all online.
Yeah.
you know, sort of spare time.
Fair, you can do most things online now.
There are a lot of things online, yeah. So I'd like to do that. Sorry, I can do my spare time online. It's just ideal for me.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously I work full time, so I just didn't do it for you.
Yeah, for sure.
Should I get on to games we've been playing?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, by the way, I tried to finish Fate Extella, because I talked about that the other week. Mm-hmm. I've done 3 of the campaign modes in the story. Okay. I thought there were only going to be 3 campaign modes in the story, because it only shows 3 characters in the story mode. Once you beat the 3rd one, 4th one unlocks!
Oh,
fuck that. I haven't finished it yet, because I haven't had a chance, because it's currently the school holidays. But the last stream I did, people were pretty shocked. I sat there for about 8 hours straight playing it. So it's well worth the money. Well worth the money. Oh, and before I finish on games I've been dicking around with, ricedigital.co.uk currently have a Halloween sale on. And if you're into fighting games, Guilty Gear Xrd is currently on sale for about anywhere between 30 and £10. Root Letter is about £7. PlayStation 4 versions, though, shamefully.
Steam's kind of got its sale on as well. There's some quite good discounts on there, actually. There's some quite... I picked up one game and they were 80% off for city price.
What was it?
I can't remember now. But I know I spent about 30
quid.
I spent about 30 quid in games last night. I was very light sale to me. I was very good last night. I bought about 4 or 5 games last night.
Really?
On Steam.
I just spent 45 quid on
a game.
Well, because I bought one each for the boys and one for me. Admittedly, it's a game we already own, but it was on sale. And the version that we own is only 30 FPS. Now we can play it at 60.
Well, there you go then.
Yeah. That extra 30 frames a second justifies the cost.
So,
I didn't really like the Steam Halloween sale, to be honest.
It's a very simple one. To Steam, their big sales are summer and Christmas.
Yeah.
I think the Halloween's like a mini sale.
Mm-hmm.
So, the Christmas one's going to be their big
sale. I better have a lot of money by then, because,
So, just guys, have you ever forested playing some of the games?
Well, you see, this is the trouble, you see. I get paid early at Christmas from work. They pay us a bit early. They pay us like a few days before Christmas Eve.
So we can play. So, yeah, it's dangerous.
So you can play some games.
It's a dangerous time, yeah. So it's like, I'm going to be buying lots of games come Christmas.
Every day is like that for me, because I always get emails from Steam. Such and such a game on your wish list is on sale. By the way, Valve, thank God you stopped only telling me a handful of games that are on sale. Such and such a list of games is on sale. And then it would say, like, the first 3, and it'd say, and XYZ more are on sale. And then you'd have to go to the fucking... You'd have to log into Steam. Like, why send me an email? I now don't know what ones are on sale, and you don't exactly list them by order of which ones are... You don't have a It's On Sale tab.
In my wish list, I would like a order by best discount.
Yes.
Or my best discount and cheapest price as well as best discount.
Yes. Fucking right, I'm going to be on the phone with Gabe later.
Good, you don't know that.
Fucking Gabe.
Because I literally read, it's like, I'm going on my wish list. Stuff's on sale. Oh, that's a really good discount. Pick that one up.
Well, that annoys me, because my wish list, I admit, is fucking huge. Every time I see a game that I'm even...
Don't you just basically add any game as soon as it gets released on Steam?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, eventually I will own the entire catalogue. But it's like, such and such a game. When the emails were truncated, so I only had 3-4 games rather than, say, 15. I often get emails saying, 15 games from your Steam wishlist are on sale. I'd have to go to Steam, go to my wishlist, and then scroll down the entire thing. I'd be there all day.
Yeah, you would. To be fair, I don't mean Valve, I just mean people like you.
Just tell me which games are on sale. I'd be more
tempted to buy it if you just list it in an email.
And say, XYZ game is on... I'll fucking have that. Not, I'm going to have to log into Steam. I'm going to have to go as a fucking wish list page. I have to scroll down. I'm going to end up with some kind of crippling injury on my scroll wheel finger.
Yeah, but you have like 7,000 games on your wish list.
And? Gaben hasn't given me a reviewer's account.
I've got 60 games on my wish list.
What's wrong with you?
There's a wish list of games I want, not every game that comes on Steam.
Don't you want every game on Steam?
No.
You don't want every game?
No, I don't want every game.
I know I'll never have the time, but you have to have every game.
I reckon I own more games now than I could probably possibly play in my lifetimes.
Like when I bought nearly every game by Eidos, and I didn't even realise I'd done it. Like the other sale that we had. Oh yeah, you bought a couple hundred games. What? Really? Yeah, you bought Hitman. Did I?
The thing is, this is why I really like this podcast, because it makes me play a new game. So, and it makes me play, because I was like, oh, I better play some games for the podcast. It makes, because I want to talk about a different game every time I play it. So it makes, that's why I like doing the podcast. It makes me play a new game.
That made me want to cry, actually. What was it that just went on sale? It might have actually been Fate Extella. Fate Extella Collector's Edition, Rice Digital, is £30. Collector's Edition, £30, PlayStation 4. I paid over 40 fucking 5 for the standard Switch version.
There you go. Should have a Switch then, should you? No. So, can we on to games we've been playing?
Yes, to your games, right.
Okay, so I've played a couple. Yes. One was a horror game. I thought I need to play a horror game around Halloween. And do you remember I told you a few podcasts ago I played a Kapoor game that made me very sick when I was on my Oculus Rift? To the point I had to go lay in a dark room. I had to go lay in a dark room.
Yes.
Yeah. I decided to play it again, this time without the Oculus Rift.
Is it much?
No. To be fair, it's very cheap. I think before the discount, it was about $1.99.
Jesus Christ, that's too expensive, mate. You're going to have to get that on. Like.
Well, it's like less than a cup of McDonald's coffee. I don't think I can make it too much.
No, I agree with you on that.
And to be fair, so it's called Emily Wants to Play. Right, yes. It's a horror game. So the idea...
That fucking sounds like it, mate.
The idea is you are a pizza delivery guy and you go to this house.
Right.
And you go in the house and you get there and... You try to deliver your pizza. It's 11 o'clock at night.
Yep.
You try and deliver your pizza and, everybody basically... And you walk in, the door closes behind you, you can't open the door. Okay?
Goddamn, the door's on the latches.
Yeah, so you go in the house and it says it's 11 o'clock at night, it's the last drop. You can't switch... You can switch lights off, you can open doors and so forth with your mouse. It's very simple. It's like you switch open doors and there's a flashlight as well you can pick up. Okay. So the first 4 minutes, you explore the house. The house is very simple. It's literally like a living room, a dining room, a kitchen, like a little back sort of storage area, like a middle storage, and like a master bedroom, and then some stairs down to a basement. That's the house, basically. It's very small. Then midnight comes round. Basically, what it is, there's this lady called, this girl called Emily, and she's got three, like, sort of supernatural dolls, right? And they want to play games with you.
I know, shit's getting real.
Yeah. And they will play, and if you play by their rules...
Checkers?
No.
Chess?
No, queens. If you play by their rules, then they won't kill you. So the first one, I think...
Play by their rules?
Yeah.
It sounds like my fucking children.
No, it's got the sort of Five Nights at Freddy's of instant kill, jump scare type thing.
Bastard.
So the first one is...
Rather, I hate games.
Yeah. Well, the first one is this girl. This one.
I hate every game, to be fair. That's
true. This one called Kiki, and she basically you'll hear her getting closer to you. You'll hear like the movements, and then she'll appear behind you. She always appears behind you, and you'll hear her laugh, and you turn around. And you've got to stare at her, stare her out. Yeah. Okay. This is definitely my first Unity game when you play it, because it's really not my first Unity game. But so everything in it spawns. It's just popped into existence.
Okay.
Rather than sort of, they have very little animation. It's just there, yeah. So when you sort of turn and stare at her, she'll just then pop out of existence. She just disappeared, despawn out of existence.
You stare at her, you give her the face.
Yeah. And so she starts And you can tell it's because obviously you've got all these mates to record the voice audio, because it's like this, you go into the bedroom, there's TV on, there's a news broadcast about like some murders and just appearance.
Sounds really
and it's clearly, it's like, you see like his best mates recorded the audio for him. Because it's like, you've got no real acting skills there at all. It's quite amusing. It's really quite.
I can't do a monotone voice, hang on. Can you do one?
Alright.
Do an impression.
Police are still investigating the recent disappearance of a load of pizza.
No, there's too much emotion.
So
there.
No, it's that's about all level it is.
Oh,
it's,
okay. So there
it's kind of sweet. It's kind of sweet in that he's really well hard. He's trying.
Well, is it a green light?
I don't think so. No, I think it's like post green light.
Oh?
I think. It's really sweet what he's done. He's tried.
It's just like North Korea, our place.
Well, no, I can't think of myself. You know what, mate? You have actually made a game. You've made a game that's got some interesting... you've tried to put some mechanics in it, a bit interesting. You've tried to make a bit of a horror, creepy game. You know, but you only charging $1.99 for it. You know what? That's fine by me.
Yeah, for sure.
That's fine. So if you're charging £10 for it, I really have a problem with it. Because literally the game is fixed. The idea is you should survive till 6 a.m.
Okay.
And that takes 36 minutes. Oh. By my calculations, or 40 minutes, one or the other. It was 5 to 6 a.m. and that's it, the game's finished. So it's really simplistic. So basically how it works is at 11 o'clock the first doll comes active. Then 6 minutes later, so at 12 o'clock the first doll comes active. 6 minutes later, then the clock then changes till 1 o'clock. And the second doll comes active, which is this doll which is like a clown. And basically, and he's got the most hilarious audio ever. He spawns nearby and he goes, ho, ho, ho. Right, and then he sort of then that's at that point you can still move.
Okay.
Then he'll go Don't ask me why he does that. That's when if you move from any point when he does that to he disappears, he'll kill you. You have to say perfectly. You can't even move the mouse.
What a dick. Okay. Does it actually tell you what the rules of their games are, or do you just figure?
You have to figure this out yourself. Uh-huh. So that's all interesting. They don't tell you what the rules are, and then when he gets fed, he goes no. Yeah, it's hilarious. It's so bad audio, which is
so I just go.
I laughed. I laughed when I first heard it. And then the far one, I think, is called Charles. Do you remember Goosebumps?
Yes.
Do you remember the one?
Are we talking the books or the TV series?
Books and the TV series. Do you remember the one with the ventriloquist dummy that used to come alive and kill people?
This was a long time ago, considering I can barely remember a few weeks.
Basically, I think it's called Charles or Chucky or something. It's a ventriloquist doll, and basically he'll spawn in a room. If you leave the room immediately, he won't kill you, but you have to leave the room immediately.
Okay.
So...
Is there like some kind of cooldown between spawn and leaving?
No, as soon as you leave the room, he despawns.
Okay. So if you just chill out and just look around...
If you chill out, he kills you.
Okay.
You have to leave the room. You chase you the room. The issue sort of with it is the fact that there's very little animation. It's just spawn and just appear out of thin air and so forth. Once you've learned the tricks of how to deal with them, they're really easy. And it just becomes a bit monotonous of, oh, she's just one behind me. There's no tension building up. You can literally play about three quarters way through the game when she's staying in one room. Just staying there.
So it's a sub-hour game. And this is what's the time period between 11 and 6?
So between 11 and midnight, it's 4 minutes. Then for each hour afterwards, it's 6 minutes long for each hour.
So, but how many times do these dolls appear in rotation?
At 12 o'clock, she's the Kiki, the one that you have to stare at. Then at 1 o'clock, you get the one with the clown. Then at 2 o'clock, you get the clown and the ventriloquist dummy.
Oh, you get... Okay.
And they'll either come... They can spawn at the same time. That's tricky.
Okay.
Or they can spawn separately. They usually spawn separately. Then at 3 o'clock, you have all three of them. But only two will spawn at a time at most. Only two will spawn at the same time.
Have they ever spawned together where you are guaranteed to die? Like one where you can't move?
Not that I've had experience.
Okay.
I think you can. Because the tour of the way the time works, allowing you to move between rooms, the time you've got from when they spawn to dealing with them, you can actually deal with two at once.
Okay.
Then at 4 o'clock, Emily becomes active, and basically she plays hide and seek with you. And she'll hide, and you've got to find her, and you've got like 100 seconds to find her.
Okay.
And if you find her...
You beat her to death and leave the house.
No. Oh. Then she despawns. But the trick with that one is, The way to solve it is, if you find her, because you basically find you have to walk up to her, the way to solve it is to, when you find her, not to say, oh, she's there, I'm just gonna, I've got 50 seconds left.
Oh, right, so you're dragging it out as long as possible to get
I'll wait till I've got 5 seconds left, then I'll go see her. And so
you just chill out. You can just see her leg hanging out of a cupboard door thing.
Oh, she doesn't hide very well. But you mustn't turn the lights on.
You fucking little.
Then at 5 a.m, you have all three dolls active and her.
Bitch.
And at 6 a.m, you get to leave. The game ends.
Just like, just go now, Pizza Man, dude. By the way, I asked for fucking stuffed crust.
So yeah.
All right, love. Chill.
Where's my tip?
You fucking made me play shitty games with your crappy dolls. One of them I just had to fucking look at. One of them I stood still. And the other one I fucking kicked him in the head and walked out the room.
It's a bit... It's definitely a... trouble is, it's not got this... The trouble with the horror tension of it is that you know instantly, as soon as one's just spawned, that in a few seconds, someone's going to spawn immediately.
Right.
So it's that you can just hide in the room. It's not got that tension of what you get from, say, Soma... Or Alien Isolation, which I'm going to be doing a Let's Play on soon. Because I never finished it, so I'm going to start from fresh and just do a Let's Play on it.
Why not do it for the stream?
Could do it for the stream, but I want to do it over winter when it's dark.
Okay, cool.
So, so I think it works better if I'm by myself, I can scream. Do you do Five Nights at Freddy's?
In fairness, if you... if you didn't scream, I'd probably laugh. And then I'd probably scream, which would then make you laugh. And then... Wait, no. Either way, we'd both be pissing ourselves laughing good. By the end of it, I'm sure.
Good. So you will have that.
I've never played Alien Isolation, by the way.
Have you not? What? It's really cool, but that works well because you...
Is that that's the one where you're going up against the Xenomorph, the single the thing? What was the other one that came out? The one that was really crap?
Oh, Alien Colonial Marines?
That one. Okay.
Alien Isolation, that's the one where it's like the Nosferatu one, where you don't know at which point the alien's going to spawn. You know, at some point it's going to spawn. You don't know when it's going to spawn. And when it's there, all you can do is hide from it.
Mm.
And it learns from how you hide and do stuff. So you have to sort of try and trick it. And that to me sounds quite... That's a horror game. Because you don't know at any point... You instantly know as soon as one's... You know in a few seconds another one's going to spawn. So you're just waiting it out.
Yeah.
There's none of this, okay, now's my chance. Because there's no objective either. You should survive.
Nah.
You know, you ain't got anything to do. So you just basically... And literally, basically... Top tip is when you get in the first room, find the flashlight in the first 4 minutes. You know, you've got to do it in the first one, so you've got the flashlight, you need that for later. You ain't got it, you'll struggle really hard later on. And then basically, I said, just stay in the front room, and you can deal with everything. For the last, you can deal with everything at least...
So what you're basically saying is then, if you stay in that one room, if, say, the one that causes you to leave the room...
You literally walk out the door, and then you're back in there again.
Yeah.
You can cover all, you can steal everything in that room until 4 a.m. clicks around and Emily goes in the hide and seek. That's the only time when it gets challenging. But literally for the first all like, yeah, so like the first all 3 quarters of the game, you can just sit in that room and cover everything. And actually, the first time I played it, so I got to about 2 a.m. thought, I'm bored now.
Wow.
It's like, you know, just to say, there's no, the tension's like, because like, once you know how to deal with them,
there's no
tension.
Sure. But isn't that the same with most horror games, though?
Yes and no, but they should be building up. I mean, yes and
like,
no.
Like, there was a horror game you played a while ago, back in the early days of the podcast, and as we've always said, the moment you see or get killed by the enemy, you're not scared of it anymore.
No. That was the case, that was probably Machine for Pigs by Amnesia.
Sure.
But... The thing about it is that's... I mean, it has similar problems, but like I said, Alien is probably the best horror game I've played. Core Alien Isolation is probably the best one, is that you don't know at which point... You know Alien's going to come... So knows when Alien will spawn, but you don't know when it's going to spawn, and it'll leave. And it may leave you alone for 10 minutes, and then it'll come back. So you're constantly on edge of, I've got stuff to do. I've got to get to this area here. I've got to get past these guys. I've got to get this stuff here. I've got to do this.
Mm-hmm.
But then the alien is like, right, oh fuck.
You might end up getting absorbed in what you have to do, completely forget that the Xenomorph is likely to come and fuck you.
And you've got to hide, think, oh fuck, it's coming. And then when it ends, it's terrifying.
Because it breaks you away from what you had to do.
It's really like, and that's a game I could only do in like sort of 2 hour stints.
Sure.
Really, really terrifying game.
I might have to pick that up, actually.
It is quite scary. And also, it's based heavily on the original films.
Yeah.
So they've just
original films. Original film or
Alien. film. Yeah, the whole sort of art style is based around that first film.
Sure.
So everything you're saying.
Aliens when they were marine? They were all heavily armed.
Yeah, that's when the Marines went back to the planet. Oh. So Alien, they go, they land on a planet, they find the alien, gets into the crew, infects the crew, long story short, they eventually kill the alien. One person survives, Ripley, spoilers for Alien. She ejects.
How dare you ruin the story?
It's from the 1970s. And Darth Vader's Luke's father.
No!
She ejects, and so they find her, the second one, they find her 75 years later, because she's in a cryostasis, so they find a ship.
I don't know.
When she talks about what happened and so forth, they say, oh, that planet, yeah, we've had a colony on that planet. Oops. For like years and years and years, no problem. And she's all like, they don't really believe at first, and then Knuckles said, oh, we've lost contact with the colony.
Oops.
So it goes to, that's when they go back with the Marines, because now they believe her or something, but so they go back with like a whole Marine squad. And that's
what
quite
was
good.
Aliens 3?
Alien 3.
Is that the one where Bishop gets hacked in half?
No, that's Aliens. Bishop gets sat in half in Aliens at the very end.
Cool.
Alien 3 is where... Alien 3 for spoiler, yeah. Alien 3 is... Alien 3, I hate the Alien 3 because they basically... So, Alien, she escapes. She leaves with with one of the Marines.
Yeah.
This little child she's found and the androids. They escape, right?
Right.
They get away, right? Alien 3, so a appeal, Connie. Her ship crashes. They kill off instantly the child, the commander, the colonel. Cause they kill them all off, so it's just it's back to her again, and then it's the same
plot elements, like plot development.
Yeah, it's like let's just kill them all off. And let's not worry about it.
Like we're gonna have to actually employ someone to write a story for this.
Yeah, that Alien 3 was pretty naff. But yeah, so Aliens is based on the first one. So it's this constant stress of it's going to appear at some point. No, it's going to appear. When's it? I don't know when it's going to appear. It's really well. It's one of the perfect horror games. I mean, I love Simon as well as one of the recent ones I found scary because that's the sort of thing. You don't know when the monster's going to appear.
Sure,
you know it's going to come at some point. You've just got to avoid it and so forth. And if you make noise, and they all work differently. That's why I think that's every monster worked differently.
Sure,
and it wasn't a case of you'll count hundreds of them. It's like every area's got a whole new monster face. Once you get from one area to another, you get a different monster. Which is a really neat idea, works really well. And they want that, and there's quite a few quiet moments where nothing happens.
Sure.
Which is quite, it really built the tension well. Which how all the best horror films are ones which are that, when's it going to attack, when's it going to kill somebody and so forth. And
for all directors at this point as well, okay, please stop with your jump scare films and your cringe films.
Yeah. Doom 3 had that problem. Doom 3 tried to scare you with jump scares all the time.
I did notice. Well, I actually quite liked Doom 3, but there was one requirement. One requirement for Doom 3 to make that a good game. There was a mod that came out for it called LMS.
Last Man Standing, yeah.
Yeah. That was what made that game fun. Mm. Otherwise, Doom 3 sucked big balls.
Yeah. The single player of Doom 3 was... It's just irritating.
Hmm.
I went into it thinking,
hey, look, it's a zombie. You got your flashlight. Right, let's pull out my
assault
rifle.
And you moved so slowly as well, didn't you? And it wasn't quite that sort of...
I can't see the guy anymore.
It wasn't quite that sort of, kill fest or anything, was it?
No.
And I used to walk into a room and go, right, monster's going to spawn there, and there.
And you notice how they never came through the fucking door?
No, they didn't spawn
there. All of the obvious... Look, there's a grate. There's a door.
I remember when Gary, there's this bit, what were the little, spidery things, the four-armed spider things that used to be in it? And you go and say, oh, look, there's a small vent just the right size for a spidery thing to walk through. I wonder what's going to come through that.
So, oh, hey, look, it's a crate of ammo.
So you just knew there was no surprise in it. He telegraphed every sort of airbrush way too much. And it's like, oh, I just...
Sorry, actually, the new Doom's quite good.
I finished Doom 3, though.
Yeah.
I got one at the end.
I played
and killed Satan.
I played through Doom 3 only with the LMS mod though. I played it through a script, I think.
Yeah, and I played it by myself.
Sure. LMS, because you know you're supposed to get the BFG from Sarge's office.
Yeah.
It's not there in the LMS. You have to do it without. You have to go up against Sarge without it.
Oh, nice.
It's like motherfucking.
One thing I did like about Doom. 3 was, I thought was really neat, which not many games copied for a long time, is the computer interfaces. That was really neat. You could walk up to, and you actually, there was not some interface she clicked once. That really, I thought, was very immersive. I really liked that.
Maybe we'll do a Doom 3 playthrough.
Yeah.
Would you say for $2 that game wasn't not awful, but not
mediocre?
Sure, they tried.
Yeah, it's on sale still at the moment for like 59p, I think. Yeah,
fucking up for 59p.
Give it a go. 59p,
I'll take a couple minutes of fun.
Yeah, give it a go. You will enjoy it for a few minutes, but you know, it's. I get a feeling he's tried to make, because you know, when Five Nights at Freddy's came out, a lot of people basically tried to copy the formula of the jump scares and so forth, and it weren't Five Nights at Freddy's because you were trapped in a single room, but they basically tried to sort of like copy it to make you have to like sort of like, oh, let's make so you can move around in this one and so forth, and they didn't quite miss it.
Can I just say, Five Nights,
yes,
not fun.
I've not played it, actually. I've got it, but I've not played it.
No. YouTubers really blew that one up. If it weren't for YouTube Let's Players, that game wouldn't go anywhere. Yeah. And it shouldn't.
But it's anywhere. You say that, but it's quite impressive. Again, it's a one-man band. It's quite impressive what he did. And also when you feedback, all the pictures he did, it's all based on pictures. There's no actual... I don't think there's actually any sort of, like... 3D physical movement, it's all based on pictures. It's quite cleverly done.
Fine, but still.
That was like $5.99, you know. I thought, for the price it was, I thought you can't. I think he did a pretty decent job.
Yeah, but I'm not debating his achievement.
No.
I'm saying it shouldn't have gone as popular as it did. If it weren't for YouTubers, no one would have known about it.
Probably not.
Fucking YouTube.
Anyway, on to my next one.
Ooh, another one.
Yes, this one is this one you might like, actually. Okay, I've really enjoyed it.
One second.
I downloaded it has a demo.
No.
Yeah.
No, it's 2017. Yeah. Demos don't exist.
No, I'm going to tell you, I might get you to download the demo.
Is that Linux compatible?
I don't know. I have to check.
Oh, God damn it.
It has a demo. It's called Code 7. Right, and basically it's like a adventure game, but it's like a hacking adventure game, right?
Right. Okay.
So how it works is
hacking game, like what?
Okay. Like, so let me explain the game. Explain the game works. Okay. So start the game. You wake up and you've got access to a computer terminal, and you can basically do like DOS prompts. You know, you can like do system dot whatever and so forth.
Okay. Good old DOS.
And pretty quickly, you get a communication from some of your people who like crash this at this space. You're at a space station. You've crashed there.
Okay.
And she says, "Oh, you're all right," and so forth. Yeah, I'm fine. You can talk to her and say, "Yeah, I'm fine," and so forth. Right. I'm stuck in a room, and she'll say, "I'm stuck in this room. Can't see anything. It's dark," and so forth. Can you see if you can find some information out? And from that, she might say, "Oh, well, the door's got like number so and so on it."
Mm.
You've got access to the database. You might like, look at the door. And, oh, I found the override code now. So now I can use override code to open that door up and let you out and so forth.
Yeah.
And so your system prompts you to go into your files and you're searching the database manually.
Mm.
And well, it does prompt you for ideas as well. But you can sort of search it and you might open the door. Then eventually you'll get like a map.
Mm.
And you can say to like your person, "Right, can you move to this location?" And she'll walk there, and then she'll say, "Right, I'm at this location, I'm in a room, I can see this. You know, in Nightmare, they used to walk into a room and say, "Oh, yeah, I can see, I've got...
The TV show with them.
Yeah, yeah. There's like a table in front of me, and I've got a vial to all these. Say, there's a table in front of you, there's a vial of potion on it, there's a person to your left, takes you to the left and so forth, and torture and so forth."
I'd love to remake that one day, just for a laugh. I know they did a reskin, yeah. But I'd love to do my own.
Yeah, because but yeah, they Bell come in and say, "Oh yeah, I'm in this room. There's a computer over here. There's a desk with like filing cabinets on it and so forth." You say, "Well, go investigate the computer for me and so forth." And if they're in the room, you can then access the computer.
Okay.
And then you can look at its mail and so forth and have a little play of them and perhaps look at these utilities and look at files and try and find out what's going on.
Mm.
And then basically you direct them around the station and so forth. Then you can start doing things like if the computer's on a network, you can like sort of jump from computer to computer on the network.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of jump on the network and try and sort of do stuff. And there's you can do like man in the middle attacks. So if you want to look hack into this computer,
yeah,
you might need to like trace its path, the movement of the signals coming through the system back to it. And when you get there, you have to like install software to do a man in the middle attack to hack into the computer.
Sure.
So it's all done from this little 4x3 interface. It is only 4x3, which is a little bit, it's not a widescreen mode.
That's 4x3. Fine.
And literally all you've got is...
Please tell me they have like a CRT effect.
Yeah.
Oh, I need it.
Yeah, you need to... Well, once you've done it, I'm waiting.
This is my streaming machine. I'm not supposed to be using this to look up games, but... Oh, please tell me I've got Steam on here.
I don't see Steam installed.
Oh, yes, I've got it. Oh, yes. Dear. Yes.
Oh, well, that's loading. So you have like an interface. You've got like big polyfaces, like all your tech stuff, which comes up and like conversation history.
Mm.
You have a map. Right. And basically, you switch between the console mode, where you're accessing the computer.
Yeah.
And like communication mode, where you're talking to the person who you're working with. Remember password now. Right, so everybody, get ready. His password is... PASWORD.
How did you know? I just didn't know what my password is for Steam.
Well, that's a good start, isn't it?
I'll look it up later.
We'll look up later. It creates a huge amount of horror and tension based on just simply, but really, really simple. There's no... You know, all you've got is a map, and you can see the person there. And as you see enemies, you'll see like voo cones of them and so forth.
Okay.
And so you have to direct them around the enemies. It's like a stealth, but you have to tell them where to go.
Okay,
move to this position now to avoid this enemy. Move now, like you must go. Like you need to go. Like, you got to sort of direct them round.
Sure.
And you do it around by like putting the coordinates of where you want to go. Well, there'll be like highlighted coordinates on the screen. You'll say, "Okay, go to D101 and then D102 and so forth." And it's a puzzle game, basically. Okay, I need to get through this door. We need to have access to this software. Okay, we need to find this information out. Okay, we need to go to this room here, or we need to get past this lock, you know, this security cameras and access keys and fear of them and so forth. Mm. And as you get more advanced, you get more software. So you might get like a piece of software that does that like can sort of like interrupt, because basically some networks, when you're hacking them, they have like security programs patrolling them.
Yeah, sure.
And if the security program meets your man in the middle attack, it'll delete it.
Okay.
If it runs into you, it'll shut you out. It'll start again. If you successfully infiltrate a data packet, if it finds a data packet on its patrol, it'll delete the data packet.
Mm-hmm.
If you've infiltrated, otherwise it'll let it through.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to sort of like almost stealth your way around the man in the middle to get it working. You can get like software to basically like hold them up a bit, slow them down a bit. And it's a really heavily story-driven game. I'm quite surprised, actually, how the first episode, the second episode of it, despite being space, the first episode is episode zero. That's the free one.
Hmm.
That costs you nothing. You can download it right now, play it for free.
Episode zero. Good job. Yeah.
Episode one, well, the season pass is $12.99 for the whole game.
$12.99 for the whole game.
The season pass, yep.
So that's not a game purchase and then season pass after it?
No, that's the season pass. You buy the season pass for the game. The game at the moment, they've not released all the episodes yet.
Okay, cool.
So season, you buy the season. Like with Telltale, you don't buy a episode, you buy the season.
Okay, cool.
So you buy the
whole season. I was just curious, because like you buy, like if you were to buy something like Tekken, you buy Tekken and then you have to pay extra for the season pass.
The game is an episodic game.
Okay, cool.
So it's like, it works like Telltale. You buy the game, that just gets you access to the whole season, and then
that'll be what was it?
$12.99.
Okay, cool.
Really well priced. If you've memories of messing around with DOS, you'll have fun with this, because it's like you have to do.
I have nightmares of messing around with DOS.
Yeah, well, you have to, there's bits like where you have to like. There's this one bit early on where it's like, oh god, this robot's it's coming for me, it's going to kill me, you need to override it, you need to find it in the database. But you don't know its number, so you first try and access it, oh, I don't know your number. right, I need to look in the database. Well, I have to search for the trial and identify which one it is. Oh, it must be that one. Okay, now I know its number. I can go back and hack the server. I can access it. Now I can override it. All the while it's doing this, it's bashing its way through a door to get to your purse. It's going to kill it. And if you take too long, it will get in and kill him.
Cool.
So it does create a huge amount of tension. You're seeing that you do feel like an elite hacker where you're sat there tapping away really quickly.
Have you played Hacknet yet?
No, I haven't. I think I've got it now.
Fucking do it, man. Everyone... Well, I haven't played it properly yet, either. Do it, man.
I'll have to.
I need to play more games about computers.
Yeah. But yeah, if you... But yeah, if I say, if you like this, you'll like... If, it made me... For the other one, again, made me think of was a little bit of Uplink and all these...
I love Uplink.
Style of the interface.
I love Uplink.
Yeah.
Uplink's on Steam, isn't it?
It's... I mean, it's also fully voiced as well.
Oh.
Fully voiced. The acting's a little bit... Yeah, but for you know, for an indie game again, I'm
yeah,
more lenient.
Yeah, sure.
You know, I mean,
I like the sound of this one more than I knew the previous one.
Oh yeah, this is a lot better. This, I mean, it's quite long. I mean, I've the first episode took me about probably an hour and a half. The episode zero,
good.
And episode one, I was playing it last. I bought it yesterday, so I played it last night. So episode zero, I played yesterday Thursday night. Episode one, I paid for it yesterday and bought the game yesterday and started playing through it. I haven't finished it, and then played it more about another couple hours this afternoon before I came here.
Mm.
I've still not finished it. I'm still not probably even like two thirds of the way through. Because it's so simplistic, they can just concentrate on writing a good story and there's not quite that many assets. Mm. And it's just really well done, really well written. It's got definitely a lot of sort of storage. It's quite tricky. You can't properly lose it, it just resets your last save points. You can't properly lose, but you definitely have a great deal of fun. So yeah, I really recommend Code 7. Doesn't have a massive amount of traction on Steam. I mean, on Steam, there's only been about 30 reviews for it.
Sure.
So it's obviously not a massive amount of traction on it, but it's all. I think it's got 100% positive.
Wow.
So yeah,
sure.
That is, I really recommend Code 7 for $12.99. Seriously, you've got to pick it up. It's really good. You know what? The other thing it makes me think of is Orwell.
I love
how
it.
You how you decipher like an entire story, but you've only got a fixed interface of how to do it.
Mm.
So you've got a fixed interface, this stuff you can do.
I
and
forget
you have to
what your ending was on that one.
I got the one where they kept Orwell, they didn't get rid of it, but there was more oversight on it. So, because I thought Orwell, in the grand scheme of things, was a relatively... useful feature thing. Because I think there was an ending where Orwell has full control and there's no oversight over it.
Mm.
And I think the other ending is Orwell gets just sort of like dismantled.
I've got a different ending to both of those.
Because I think there's like four, I think there's four
there
endings.
There are a few endings to it, yeah.
I think there's four, I think, some of the endings.
I've got a duffer ending, but to me that was kind of the better ending.
Yeah.
To be honest.
I think the ending you're meant to get is the one where Orwell gets took down.
Possibly.
But that just seemed logical to me.
Hmm.
So I left it.
I picked for the one that stiffed the woman behind the entire...
I think that's one I got. That's what I did.
But then I turned myself in at the end of it.
How was I doing that?
Yeah, that's kind of how it went.
Well, whatever happens...
So I basically revealed the whole program.
Yeah, at the I didn't reveal the whole program. At the end... The very end of the game, you see like another person is investigating you, but that happens regardless of whichever ending you get.
Sure.
No matter whether you get that same thing happens.
I kind of want to play the game again because I was a real dickhead at the end of the
game. I saw it again. I get my family to play because I think it's a real good puzzle game.
Mm.
Really, it's a real you and it really you have to really think about it.
You can blast your way through it and really screw with people.
Yeah.
Or you can it's surprising how little information you actually need to get through some of those things.
Yeah.
I really want to see. So I know that we've said before how when we first play through a game, that's considered our canon ending.
Yeah.
I really want to see the other ways that the characters react to the information that I pull up out of their stuff. I know that I know one specific route. I really want to know what it is I have to do.
Yeah.
What buttons do I have to press on these people to make them flip?
Yeah.
I kind of want to go through and see all the different dialogue options and stuff like that. Like, how little do I need to grab? What information triggers certain events? Sorry, just a random thought. I now need to play Orwell again.
Yeah. Good on Orwell.
I'll check out
Code 7.
Yeah.
We must, after we've done this poll, you have to just quickly look it up. It's a really neat game.
Sounds like fine. Haven't you got Steam on your laptop?
No, I haven't.
God damn it.
Motherfucker.
Actually, hang on.
Oh, disaster! No.
The cameras are gone.
It's all gone wrong. He's lost the cameras. He's knocked over a tin of something.
Oh, I said, don't drink.
He's knocked over a drink. It's all gone wrong. It's horrible. That's a random picture.
Yeah, I know. I can't change it. Steam.
Steam. There we are. See if he's got Steam. For the audio listeners, that asked for, and indeed viewers, that asked for his password as well.
God.
Cool.
Then I'll check out the game.
Cool. So that's the closer, but yeah, really recommend. If you like messing around Kapoors, like the old school Kapoors, if you like the idea of playing a hacky type game, really recommend it. It's really good fun.
Yes.
That's it for me for games. I can briefly talk about TV.
Go on.
What is it? I've been watching The Expanse Season 2.
Right.
So do you remember The Expanse? Told you about a few months ago. So Expanse is a sci-fi.
Right.
But it's a really hard sci-fi. What that means is that when you're in space, you know, they try and follow, where possible, they try and follow the laws of physics in space, you know.
I like physics.
Yeah. So the ships move like you expect them to. They sort of rotate. So a lot of the ships, when they want to go somewhere, they accelerate one direction, they turn themselves around, then decelerate, find the engines again, sort of decelerate themselves there.
Yeah.
Which, how, in actual fact, is how a lot of places expect to work. They expect it to, you know, to do it.
Mm.
Which is quite a neat thing.
No cloaking devices.
Now, they do have stealth ships, though. But they're not proper stealth ships. They can still be seen, but you have to look for them. So it's not
true. Space is pretty big and empty.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, actual fact though, one of our websites there's a guy on there who basically points out that stealth in space is actually very difficult. Because, yeah, yes, sure. It's empty, but everything produces heat.
Well, yeah, for sure.
And you can see heat really easy in space.
It's fucking cold.
Yeah, it is actually, and you know even our modern day technology, we could see like even as moderate sized ship like near Pluto before it got even near us. That's how well we could see it. So space is really hard.
So what you're basically saying is sci-fi has lied to us.
Cloaking doesn't. There's no stealth in space. Expanse sort of like glosses over slightly. It's relative, but they sort of say it's not proper. They call them stealth ships. They're not proper stealth ships. They, you know, they can still be seen. They can still be detected. It's just that they're harder to detect, so they're not completely invisible. They can't see.
Quicker, smaller.
Yeah, they're not that. They're quite big still. They're quite normal size. But what's really best, the combat is so realistically done. Yeah. So there's this fantastic scene where they're going into combat and they're getting to their ship. And one thing they don't do any other sci-fi, which makes perfect sense, they all put their spacesuits on. Put oxygen supply and depressurise the whole ship. Because you wouldn't want something going through your ship to create a hole which is sucking everything out, would you? That's so they just depressurise the entire ship. So they fight, they do all their combat in spacesuits. Even if they're in by the ships. And when they're going combat, the weapons just go, there's no shields, bullets go straight through. So there's a scene where they get raped by a railgun, you just see all the railguns just go flying through the hole and just, you know, just little bits of debris left behind from the railguns. It's really terrifying, actually, how vulnerable they are.
So you're thinking to yourself, I ain't going to space.
It does make space really terrifying, how they fight.
Because let's be honest, space is terrifying.
It is utterly terrifying. They make sure how actually deadly and how, you know, one, you know, they're trying to terraform Mars, but Mars is long enough, but it's still not quite habitable. They have to live in habitat domes. They've got a farming place on Ganymede, which has got big domes just because they can get lots of sun, they can grow lots of stuff. But if you want to, so you have to wear a spacesuit, otherwise you are dead. If a dome like gets a hole puncher in it, lose it, that's it, that's gone.
Yeah.
Really, it's really done. They've got host of the economics, how it works. It's all like half political, half sort of traditional sci-fi. So the political side of it is, okay, there's some Mars spoilers for Expanse Season 1. Okay, so this is warning, okay? I will say Season 2 picks up immediately after Season 1 to the point that it doesn't feel like there's actually a gap. Sure. But to fill out clues. So, actual fact, if you watch, you could actually watch these back to back, you wouldn't even know there was a there was actually two series.
Almost as if it was written to be.
It was, because it's based on a book.
Okay.
And they couldn't fit the whole book and season one season. So,
you sort of built right ass.
Well, they cancelled it.
Yeah.
But thankfully, they didn't. So the political side of it is there's basically three groups. You've got Earth, you've got Mars, and you've got what they call these sort of belters. And it's the belters, people who are born in space. Okay, so basically their trouble is that because they're born in space, they obviously grow up in space, they're not used to normal gravity.
Yeah, not sort of gravity space,
yeah. So in actual fact, what they do, if they get a belter and they want to torture them, they just bring them to Earth and just leave them hanging in Earth gravity.
Brutal bastards.
Yeah. They have to, so on Earth, belters have to be like sort of suspended in water tanks to space because they can't, their bodies aren't coped to it. And like the Martians, there's a bit where the Mars go to Earth, people go to Earth, and as they get down there, they say, right, we know you train in 1G, practicing training, this is going to be different. They literally all sort of, they literally land, they all stagger out the ship as they land because they're not used to Earth gravity, and one person throws up and it's. it's really they've really thought about it and the problems that are going to be faced and how they work. It's really well done and really well thought about. Even the ships have to be given like a special chemical, basically. They have to be strapped down, given a special chemical before a ship can do a high G manoeuvre.
Yeah.
Otherwise it'll kill the crew.
Yeah, makes sense.
Because it's so high G's. They can sort of like jet around and I think they accelerate to about sort of 10 G's, and that's about it.
You said, despite what previous sci-fi may have taught you, we're really fragile.
You are. Well, it's because the speeds they have to travel to get anywhere, they have to have really high protections about it. Actual fact, it's not the speed of travel, it's the acceleration.
Yeah.
So you can travel at a very high speed as long as your acceleration goes up to speed, it's very gentle.
Yeah.
So that's why it's special stuff, so they can actually accelerate really quickly to get to the speed they need to go. But you know, humans can travel at, could easily travel at half the speed of light as long as they accelerate there nice and gently. Yeah,
because if not.
Yeah, it's acceleration that kills you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, even someone said if you had a ship that infinite, as like an infinite fuel that just burned at 1G, within about 5 years it'd be going towards the speed of light. Because it's just that constant acceleration, but it's constant.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't notice any difference because it's 1G, so you'd actually be... In fact, that's actually one of the proposals for anti-gravity on ships. You just get and you accelerate at like 1G where you're going, and you won't feel it because you'll feel like you've got gravity because you're constantly accelerating.
So you're eventually acclimatising to it anyway.
Well, you're constantly accelerating, so you don't know any difference.
Sure.
You're being pushed back with a force of 1G.
Mm.
But then what they would then do is turn round and then accelerate back the other way, slow you down. And again, you have the same thing. You wouldn't realise you were decelerating.
Sure.
It's quite neat. But yeah, so that's the political side of it, is what they're basically, Earth and Mars are going towards of having an all-out war. Mars has got the better technology, but Earth has got the numbers advantage.
Sure.
Which
is also usually the way.
Yeah, the belters think that basically Mars and Earth are, you know, they use them basically for resources. They basically think they're just sort of forgotten about and so forth, so they're demanding more rights. And then background to this, you've got this... They basically have discovered the very first alien organism.
Oh, right.
That's how they're dealing with it, what's happening with it, and now it's completely different to anything they've ever encountered before.
Sure.
And how they're dealing with it. That's as far as I want to go in terms of saying what's in it, because I don't want to spoil it too much.
Sure.
But if you like sci-fi, think it's more, it's definitely more on the harder scale of sci-fi.
It's so a thinker's more, sci-fi,
yeah,
not
a... Think more Battlestar Galactica, less Star Trek. I mean, new Battlestar Labs. That was a little bit more towards the harder sci-fi end of things.
Sure.
Because in normal Battlestar, they have no shields. In Battlestar, if they get hit by something, they have to basically just like fill the air with flak to try and defend themselves against enemy ships and so forth. So
sure.
It's really neatly done, really well done. So that's the expansion. That's what I recommend it.
Cool.
Last thing we'll talk about, unless you've got anything else to add before we carry on to the last bit, news.
Nope.
I've got some good news. Capuchin's been beaten. You know, Capuchin, our favourite. Click all the pictures of a car in this photo.
Don't say that, because I had that today. This wouldn't happen to be using the accessibility functions. Oh,
nope.
That was the last one.
Neural nets, they've developed an AI that can beat Capuchin.
Oh, that's terrifying.
Yeah. They've developed an AI that can beat it. In 2013 was when they first had the first version of it, and they had a success rate of 90%.
Damn.
On Capuchin tests, Traveller than Me did it all and try and make it harder. But even with the update, they can still do 66% chance of success.
I wonder if it can do the one for Phantasy Star Online too. We call that the Gate Guardian. That's the end boss to signing up for an account or doing anything in Phantasy Star Online 2, a Japanese capture quest.
What I loved about what they said, yes, our software beats capture 9% of the time. Bear in mind, humans only get it right 87% of the time. So, I just want to make that because it's just hilarious. Like, oh, yes, they've actually got an AI that's going to beat capture. So God knows what they're going to do next.
Can we just get rid of it?
Please. I hate capture. I really actually hate it.
There's too much shit on the internet now that we don't really need. It's just a massive... The internet is a massive inconvenience. Once upon a time, it used to be a fucking a doorway to a world full of information. Really interesting stuff. Some really bizarre, not so interesting stuff. But now, there's paywalls, ads, JavaScript, fucking captures, JavaScript, right? Yeah. Fucking more ads. 4chan. Don't shake the hive. 4chan's alright. Reddit! JavaScript. JavaScript.
Ads. This is not JavaScript. Ads, yeah.
JavaScript.
Yeah.
Fuck, I hate JavaScript. I hate capture. I don't know which I hate more. the gate guardians of the web.
Something else. Oh. Age gates. And you miss something else out. Website is like one big, massive picture with a little bit of text in the middle, and you have to scroll down to the next big, massive picture to get another little bit of text. Scroll down, and the menu navigation doesn't take you to a separate page, it simply jumps you around the top page.
Dude, oh, I hate those. I still... what was it Lowry said once? He was on a website, and I think it was actually a company he worked for. And he was featured on the company's website, and he said that he doesn't know what it looks like because he refuses to go there because it uses JavaScript. I was like, and I agree. No need for it. Get rid of it. Fucking all of the things that we have just mentioned, get rid of them. You're talking to the guy that still codes in HTML. I want it to be basic. I want it to be really fucking lightweight. I don't want to be pulling down 5 megs of pictures in JavaScript.
Of course you don't.
I want to be able to browse your website on 56k. I want to go to Africa, middle of the desert, no internet connection. I still want to be able to browse your website.
That's a little bit of an issue.
Well, they need to sort it out. Fucking 2017.
Yeah.
You said there was a demo in 2017.
I think the trouble is websites. What you need to do is all website owners fire your design team. The trouble is designers make crappy. The designers designed for making aesthetics, not for use.
Yep.
And there are so many websites designed to look good over actually being useful.
Yep.
Oculus Rift's website is a good example, right? All their stuff, all their text and details, is a picture.
Why?
So if you want to copy it, when we're doing like our comparing them, I want to copy and paste it.
Nope.
Oh, it's a picture.
And just drag the image around.
Yeah, it's a picture. Okay.
Great. That annoys me too. Websites that are literally just images.
Yeah.
Stop doing that.
At least the one thing that has disappeared, you don't get very often these days, at least I've not seen one for a long time, Flash intros.
Flash intros dead. However, I still see some websites that require you to install Flash to actually do anything.
I've come across it for a long time.
Restream.io, your preview window, it requires Flash. Get rid of it.
Yeah.
It's 2017.
Any website that's got an interface on it that's just way too complicated than it needs to be. So, like, I went to this, I was talking about marketing in my college course.
Yeah.
My cultural course, we were discussing marketing, we were talking about websites, and we started talking about it. He said, have a look at this website, it's got good looks. He said, yeah, it looks good, it's badly designed, though. I started listing, and they had, basically, each page of the website, it meant to look like a book.
Yeah.
Like a sort of nursery rhyme book.
Yeah.
And to go to the next page, your navigation was you had to go into the bottom like right hand corner and like flip the page. But you couldn't just click on it and move it over. You had to actually click it and drag it across. Ugh. And if you didn't do it quite far enough, it just spin back. I was like, this is the most frustrating website ever. Who the hell designed this?
Was it that Divine sent to me? It was like a website called Ling's Cars. Not like Ling's Honda, but it was like Ling's Cars. And it was a website that looked like it was made in like 1995 or something.
Yeah.
But it was fucking... Not only was it brilliant, it was hilarious. My only beef with it was using probably CSS and JavaScript.
All I want on a website is page information on and then the menu on the left-hand side, which I just click on what I want.
Yep.
That's what I want.
That was
I don't the care last about website. You know, yes,
the last website I built, menu on the left hand side, which was an HTML page, but CSS to say keep that there.
Yeah,
and then just the main like index page.
Pictures, nice. I don't mind pictures.
Not too many.
Just enough to get your point across. You know, even videos. I don't mind even like an embedded YouTube video. I don't have anything against that because again, it doesn't load till you want it to. Oh yeah, no autoplay in videos. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Just keep it simple. Keep it neat. That's what I want.
No animated backgrounds.
Yeah. You look at all the big main... Most of the big mainstream ones that all they're there to do is sell stuff. They keep it simple.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at Amazon's website. That's very simply laid out. That hasn't changed since I first saw the internet thing when they first launched. It's pretty much the same website. It works, though. Don't break it.
If I can't run your website, and this is maybe asking a bit too much. If I can't run your website on a Core 2 Duo machine, pretty well, or at the most extreme end, something like a Raspberry Pi, you're doing it wrong.
Yes.
You are really doing it wrong.
A website should make my gaming rig strain.
There's fucking no reason for a web browser to be using gigabytes of RAM.
No.
Ever. Like, ever.
Unless you have 1,000 tabs open.
Ever. Like, ever. Ever. I have, 10 tabs open, and I find that half of my RAM is gone.
I've told you about how I went on... I actually looked up Lycos's website. They still exist. And how their website trolls you. Well, at least it used to. I don't think they might have changed it since I was up about a year ago. So, do you know what Lycos do now?
No.
They make smartwatches.
What?
Yeah, I know. It's interesting, isn't it?
But were they a search engine or a directory?
Search engine company.
Which was the other one that was a directory? It was Yahoo and...
Lycos has always been a search engine. It's been a search engine. It might have a directory as well.
Ah, okay, cool. You know, there was another one that was a directory specifically.
Ask Jeeves was a section as well, wasn't it?
Oh, okay. Sure.
But yeah, Lycos, I went on that bit where you went to sort of look at this watch, whatever it is. And there's like five buttons in a sort of a pentagon shape, right? Mm. When you click on them, they move. Right? They move and they reorder themselves. So like the home button was at the top, the first time you click on it, sounds great.
Sure.
So you go on the next page, and you went, I'm going to click on home. Oh no, that's the page that shows me the features now. It's like, you're trolling me now, Lycos.
Bastard. Is it owned by the same company, or is it just like some other geezer's just bought it?
Oh, who knows, it's probably owned by some sort of like Russian or something.
Rocking.
So yeah, Lycos, shit.
I don't like the internet anymore, I'm just throwing it out there, I don't like it anymore.
It's got two... You've let designers design it, not actually...
You've let hipsters on it.
Yeah.
Once upon a time,
keep it practical, guys. Just when you finish on your website, great, that's awesome, brilliant, right, okay. That's really nice, right. Just get some average Joe and say, okay, can you use this? I want you to do this on. I want you to place an order on our website. Okay? You've got 2 minutes to do it. If the user can't do that in 2 minutes, you fucked it up.
Yep.
Really? I agree. You should be able to go on the site, I want to order that, add to basket, click on basket, here's my details, boom, done.
eBay, example. Contact seller. When that's in fucking fine print and constantly moves around the page, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
You're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
Actually, something
else I hate. Mm-hmm. Extra verification on like debit cards. So you go on a thing, you want to play with your debit card, and then it insists on extra verification.
Example?
So, Just Eat.
Okay.
So you go to pay with your debit card, Mm-hmm. Okay, here's my security code. Here's my, all my details.
You've already given me a security code.
I've logged in with my password for my account. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got it. Here's my security code. Right, we're just going to connect to your bank for extra verification.
Isn't that usually on the bank side, though?
That is on the bank side, and I've discovered something.
Right.
Because that uses Flash, usually. Or whatever. Ooh. Not Flash,
JavaScript?
Not JavaScript. It's
Satan?
Something like that. Anyway, whatever it uses, right? Mm. I didn't update it. If you don't update it, it doesn't ask you anymore. The only reason my computer was never updated was because it didn't ask me that anymore. I could just start and show. He said, "Came to your bank. Okay, we've authorised it." It's like, we can't do this. We just have to authorise it and let it through.
Careful how you say that. People might think you're an elite hacker.
It's like, yes, bypassed it.
Who's your bank? NatWest?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
No. NatWest. These NatWest, all they ask is like numbers from your PIN and your like password. Santander, right? Mother, we bought something off Santander last night with Mum's card. Mm. With Santander, right?
Mm.
Okay. It asked us for card expiry date.
Mm.
It asked us for the last four digits of her account number.
Mm-hmm.
It asked us for the card security code.
Mm.
It asked us for her name.
Jesus Christ, you're sure they weren't trying to scam you out of extra information?
No, it's definitely. It then asked us for letters from her password. Mm-hmm. Then it allowed us to pay for it.
Too much effort.
Yeah, that was like...
Whilst I'm all for security over convenience, that's a
baller. Do you like this? Apart from the password, all the information was on the card!
Yeah, fair point. I will say that banking security is ridiculous these days. I mean, I walked into NatWest with no proof of ID. I could have just picked a mini statement off the floor and then just say maybe guessed some information and I got full access to an account.
Yeah.
Wrong.
And what did you do with that use of that account? Did you buy much?
Oh, yeah, loads of stuff. That's how I funded this entire house.
Yeah.
That's how I fund this operation.
Yeah. It's a good job that it's all like...
You know I've said that, and someone's going to take that serious, and there's going to be a black van.
It's a good job Prince Harry goes to our local NatWest bank, isn't it?
Really, yeah,
isn't
bless it? Yeah,
it's
him.
It's a good job.
In fairness, though, mate.
He won't know.
Much like Harry, you know, Harry, Gaben, fucking, you know, Big Kim. They all know me.
Yeah.
They don't mind lending me their card. They should do, but they don't mind.
Well, Gaben's the one, because whatever you spend on, he gets it back anyway.
Yeah, I know.
All you do is buy Steam games with it.
Gabe. Good deal, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like, it's basically it's from an account. It's basically it's money laundering when you buy games.
Gabe just calls me up. He's like, "Look, I need a couple bucks. I need my card. You've got my card. So don't worry, Gabe. You'll get the money in a minute."
Yeah. But yeah, I just want to think because I thought, "Yay, capture's gone. Yay!
Oh, thank fucking God, so, they might be gone. Just stop with all the. I'm just bored of the internet." It's full of crap. They've got drippy hipster designers coming up with all this crap. It all looks pretty. It's all form over fucking function. Get rid of it. When I have to load up a browser and a terminal to get around, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
When I use most of my monthly bandwidth just browsing your crappy... When loading...
Bandwidth limits.
Right, look. I have a connection I use for telephone when I'm out and about. Right, so when I'm out in a field and I'm having to do a job for whatever, I have my emergency tethering connection. It has very limited bandwidth. I found that I can spank that bandwidth in literally no time at all. Now, to check the bandwidth on my account, I think it took 15 megabytes of data. 3 pages. 5 megs a fucking piece. I'm sorry, but let's say I load up 5 pages. When I load up 5 web pages that literally take seconds, if that's using more bandwidth than a fucking CD, like a download, an MP3 copy of a fucking CD, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
If I'm using more data per second than an MP3, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yep. Keep it simple, stupid.
There we go.
Right.
Done. Now I have to try and log into Steam.
Yeah. So, very much, Roger. I'm the Suffolk Ram.
Scourgeous.
We look forward to seeing you in a fortnight on the 11th and 12th.
Might have had a Splatfest.
Splatfest?
Yes.
Splatfest. Well, I won't be seeing the Splatfest because I haven't got a Switch.
Ah, fuck.
But you'll be able to see. If you've got Switch, you can see Scaz on the Splatfest. You can spat Scaz at Splatfest.
I'll be on Twitch and YouTube anyway. Right, cup of tea.
Cup of tea.
See you all next time.
See you next time. There you go. Do you see the speed he rushed out the room this then?